Our Sunday evening series of studies in the life of faith is based on the marvelous chapter, the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And we study some verses from that 11th chapter of Hebrews. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. And when you read through a passage like that, I think we are meant to feel, not just to notice, but to feel the throb and the pulse of faith right the way through. As if God was hammering home to us in all sorts of different situations and circumstances of life, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And I wonder if you noticed that in these few verses that we read, the whole personal story of Moses, that takes a vast number of chapters in the Old Testament to record, the whole personal story of Moses is summarized in 5 verses. Because it had all to do with faith. And then we're given a succession of events. The keeping of the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the collapsing of the walls of Jericho. Tremendous happenings in history. And just when we begin perhaps to feel that we, folk like us, could never have a place among such great figures of faith, we read, by faith, Rahab the prostitute. Poor Rahab, she was never allowed to forget. And she's never been allowed to forget, right through the course of church history, what she had been. And yet she finds her name mentioned not only in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, she finds her name mentioned, isn't it, in Matthew chapter 1, in the New Testament genealogy that leads up to the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And I mention this tonight in order that we might emphasize that marvelous statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17. If anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so we've got this list in Hebrews 11 of all the great characters. But aren't you glad that Rahab was there? And she was able to have a place by faith. Not by deserving. Not by reforming her life. Not because God just shut his eyes to her sinful practices. But by faith, she had a place among the heroes and heroines of the faith, and she took her place in the developing purposes of God. Now, right through all these studies, the operative or the key word is faith. And that is true in the three great events, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, and the walls of Jericho. And just to reassure you, we're not going to cover them all tonight. We'll satisfy ourselves with crossing the Red Sea. The key word in these three events is faith. Faith that answered what God had said. And that, of course, is the essence of faith. We've been hammering home this point. Faith doesn't operate in a vacuum. Faith is specific. It is the answer to what God has said. And if we believe what God has said, then we have faith. If we don't believe what God has said, then we're unbelievers. It's as simple as that. But then you see, in these stories, especially the ones we're coming to now, we have to see that God not only speaks, God acts. God does things in history. We didn't read the chapters last Sunday evening in the story of the Passover, but we would read there of what God did in the land of Egypt, the plagues in Egypt. When a godless, defiant man stood against God and against God's people and would not move no matter what God said or did, God acted. And there was a succession of plagues in Egypt that shook the nation, not only emotionally, but economically, until in sheer terror, Pharaoh said, "Go, and go with your God, and go to your God." We have the same kind of thing in the New Testament. God not only speaks, he acts. And evil men nailed the Son of God to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. God acting in history. We have it, and we've seen it already, and we'll see it again in our Sunday morning studies in the Acts of the Apostles, the story of the early church. Wicked men put God's servants into prison and locked them up, and God opened the door and took them out of prison. Just like that. Miracle. God is a God who speaks. That's why we have to listen. God is a God who acts. And that's why our eyes have to be opened so that we might see and recognize the hand of God in a great variety of circumstances. God is the God with whom we have to do. And Pharaoh discovered that. In Exodus chapter 5 at verse 2 we read, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover I will not let the people go." But Pharaoh had to deal with God, because God dealt with Pharaoh. And now in our verses tonight, in the single verse, by faith, it's a wonderful verse really, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea. Oh, you say, it's a great story. Yes, but you know, it's really quite an astonishing story. When there is recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11 a testimony to the faith of the children of Israel. Because before this event, if you look, we read about it in chapter 14, verses 10, 11, and 12. When Pharaoh drew near, the people lifted up their eyes and saw the Egyptians, and they were full of fear. And they turned on Moses and said, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die? What have you done to us? We told you this would happen. It would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians. It would have been better if we had had nothing to do about all this of the Passover lamb and salvation by the power of God. That's the kind of people they were just before they crossed the Red Sea. They were terrified. They were critical of Moses. They were critical of God. It was all Moses' fault. Then if we turn over to Exodus chapter 15, I think I've got the wrong reference yet. No, I have verse 22. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness, that's 3 days after they crossed the Red Sea, and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because it was bitter, therefore it was named Marah. And the people murmured again, what will we do? Why have you done this to us? Where's that? What a bunch they were. Before crossing the Red Sea, they were terrified. They were lashing out at Moses and blaming God for their predicament. 2 or 3 days after crossing the Red Sea, they were in the same frame of mind. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 16, at verse 2, the whole congregation, in verse 1 says, on the 15th day of the second month after the departure from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and said, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Look at these people. Before the crossing of the Red Sea, full of unbelief. 3 days after the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, the moment they faced difficulty, full of complaint and criticism, and 2 months afterwards, after all that God had done for them, you find them saying, we wish we were back in Egypt. I sat at home and pondered these things and thought of the verse in one of Paul's epistles in Galatians chapter 5 at verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you? In view of all that God has done for you, where is your faith? In view of all the times that God has transformed your situation, delivered you from predicament, led you into newness of life, all the times that God has been so immensely good and kind and generous to you and to your families, where is your faith? And yet we read it by faith. They crossed the Red Sea. I haven't time tonight, although I've got it marked, to turn up 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A recital of the stories of Israel and how God did this for them, and they all passed through the sea. They were all under the cloud and the fire. They were all this and that. But with most of them, God was not pleased. Why then this reference to the crossing of the Red Sea in terms of by faith the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea? Well, I think we need to go back to the story of Exodus, and maybe you should have your Bibles open at Exodus chapter 14 and then chapter 13. Because when you read this story carefully, you begin to see how faith has to grow and develop and deepen. And faith has to pass from the first thrill. Can you still remember the first time you said that you were a Christian? Depending on the circumstances, you might have been terrified or you might have been excited. I can still remember the first time I had to go up into the pulpit in Aberdeen in naval uniform and give my testimony. I wasn't awfully sure what giving a testimony was, and I wasn't awfully sure if I had one. But I knew that I was a Christian. Never forgotten that. Yes, that's half a century ago now. But then you see, faith has to move on from the first thrill of experience and the first thrill of victory. Faith has to move on and to grow until it becomes a steady, deliberate looking to God. The kind of looking to God that is not afraid to look at circumstances, but looks at circumstances and then looks at God. Remember, we came across this when we were doing the story of the faith of Abraham, when God promised that he and his wife were going to have a child, a natural born child. And Paul records in Romans that Abraham didn't stagger. He looked at his own body. Well, it wasn't up to it. He looked at Sarah. Well, she was guy old and she was past childbearing. He looked. He said, yes, well, that's the situation humanly speaking, but God said, and I believe God. Now you see, faith has to develop to become this attitude that both listens to God and looks to God instead of giving way to circumstances. Look at it here in chapter 14 of Exodus at verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people as they went forth. The Egyptians pursued them, and then it came near. Look at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes to God. Oh no! The people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians. What about the pillar of cloud that had led them all the way? Had it evaporated? No, not a bit. But they didn't look to the clouds. Ah, but God is still with us. No, no. They looked at the army of Pharaoh. God had done great things for them. In the story of the Passover, they had gone out from the land of Egypt defiantly, as some verses, some translations call it, or boldly, or with a high hand. Oh, they were full of confidence, and they were full of expectation, and they had good cause. Because God had given his promises. He said, I'm going to take you out of the land of Egypt, you're finished with bondage, and I'm going to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. All that your hearts have ever longed for will be yours. They had all that. They had the promises of God. They had the great deliverance of God in the night of the Passover, when God led them out of the land of Egypt. But then we need to look at chapter 13, at verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was the coast road, the quickest way to get to the land of Canaan. But then you see, the Philistines were there. And God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near, because God said, well, if we go that way, they'll have to fight every inch of the way, lest the people repent when they see war and return. Oh, said God, we're not going that way, because that way would mean instant war and battle and conflict and cost. And you see, God knew that his people weren't ready for that. And I think we've got to see in this something of the wisdom of God and the care of God. Because you see, either whether for the Israelites or for us, God will not ask what we are not ready to cope with. He's a wonderful God. He really is. Of course, it does mean that when the Lord leads you into very demanding situations, it's because he believes that you're ready for them. And God said, no, they'll cope. They're ready for that now. They weren't ready for battles earlier on, but they're ready now. So God took them by a different way. But look at verse 21 of chapter 13. And the Lord went before them. It's a great statement. Where have you to go in the next few days, the next few weeks, or the next few years? The Lord goes before you, as he did with his people when he took them out of the land of Egypt. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. You see, God knew that it's one thing to be brave during the day, it's another thing to be brave during the night. All sorts of things become magnified when it's dark. You hear something in your house creaking during the day and you don't take any notice of it. But if it's about 2 o'clock in the morning and you happen to wake, what's that? Pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. That's why we were saying, we rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Maybe we should have been singing the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. And so we come to the beginning of chapter 14. And the first four verses there is a significant change of direction. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people to turn back and camp in this particular place. Now, I'm not sure if the message was spoken only to Moses or to all the people. But the thing that God said at this point had to do with the sovereign and glorious purpose of God. There's no indication that Moses, but God, why? God said, and Moses did. That's faith. It's very simple, really. But then you see, part of God's glorious purpose of salvation was that Pharaoh, the symbol of the evil powers of the world, was to be confounded. And when the people heard that Pharaoh was going to be confounded, perhaps they rejoiced and they obeyed. And then in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 of our chapter, the children of Israel learned, as we must learn, that the enemy never gives up. Have you had a good week? Have you managed to keep the devil in his place? Hallelujah. Watch it, because he never gives up. I often go back to read the story in the Gospels of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And after these temptations, on the three major levels of temptation, it says, the devil departed until an opportune time. And the devil always waits for the opportunity to come back. And so the children of Israel learned that the enemy never gives up. And when we come to verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, when the test of faith came, and the test of faith wasn't accidental, it was God who led them to where they were. And God was fairly good at geography, and he knew that the Red Sea was there, and that had to be crossed. When the test of faith came, it's an astonishing verse. The people of Israel lifted up their... Now, think of all they'd experienced. Think of all that God had said to them, all that God had done for them. Think of how just a very short time before, God has said, now Pharaoh is going to be confounded and I will do it. And they believed and they rejoiced. Just in the way that we sometimes rejoice when we read in the Gospels where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we believe it and we are glad. Oh, we are so confident. And then something goes wrong in the congregation. And what happens? We become preoccupied with what's gone wrong. Or something happens in our own lives that we didn't expect. And we become all preoccupied with what is happening. Now that's exactly what happened here. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. I've mentioned it already, I mention it again. Why did they not look up at the pillar of cloud? The evidence and the assurance of God with them. Why do you and I so often forget that God is with us? Well, I have to answer that question for myself. You have to answer it for yourselves. And the first reaction of the people when we come into verse 11 was unbelief. Not faith. It was unbelief. And unbelief led to fear. And fear made them cry. Well, it's a wonderful contradiction. They cried to God and they turned on Moses. It's a bit unfair, wasn't it? It wasn't Moses who had chosen the route. It wasn't Moses who said to camp in this particular place. It was God. They cried to God. And they turned on Moses. Now, we are not told Moses' reactions. But I'm quite sure Moses felt very hurt. He had feeling. Oh, he was a great man of God. But he had feelings. Now imagine in a situation like this where they lashed out at Moses. Yes, he had been hurt. But we're not told about his feelings. We're told about his faith. Look at verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again." Fear not. Stand still. And these two words, stand still, I think indicate that there was already the surge of panic amongst the people of God. Now, panic is never a good thing. Panic never comes from God. Panic is the great instrument of the devil. Because panic gets our thinking confused, our feelings confused, our actions confused. Panic is disastrous. And I believe already, there in the great camp by the Red Sea, the children of Israel were beginning, they were surging amongst each other, were saying to you, "Oh, what will we do? Everything, oh, we haven't done." You know the kind of thing. And Moses said, "Stand still. Stop." I told you before of how as a youngster, I can't count the number of times that my poor mother had to say to me, "Bide at peace. Stop." And I can't count the number of times in the course of my life in ministry that God has had to say that to me. Now, stop. Fear not, said Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm quite sure a lot of people will say, "Oh, but we've got to do something." And I would like to think that Moses said, "Well, what do you suggest?" It's a good way to deal with people in congregations when they become critical. You say, "Well, now, would you rather take charge?" That'll change their attitude quite a bit. We're told that they cried to God. Verse 11, they said to Moses, the people cried to God. The end of verse 10. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no great..." Oh, it's a depressing statement, isn't it? The end of verse 12, "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the..." I have had people say to me, "Well, Mr. Libby, I just wish I'd never been converted." And I have to say, well, would you like to go back to the kind of life that you want? Oh, no, I don't mean that. And I say, well, what do you mean? This is what the children of Israel were saying here. They cried to God, but not in faith, because they weren't believing the promises of God. They were forgetting the promises of God. They were forgetting completely, as we often do, that what God begins, He completes. And they were forgetting that God was with them. And this is something we all tend to do far, far too often. We simply forget that God is with us. And because they were forgetting that God was with them, they were concentrating on the dangers of their situation and the demands of their situation, and they lost their peace and they lost their hope. I confess that there are all sorts of verses in Scripture that I use a great deal in my own personal pilgrimage. And time again I have to go to Romans chapter 8 and read, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And I say, well, it doesn't really matter. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I can almost hear the devil say, well, I'm against you. But what does it matter? But you see, they were forgetting. And so we go on with the story. All I'm doing tonight really is reading the Bible with a few comments. Verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." I could imagine Moses say, well, God, they're not likely to believe that. I mean, the Red Sea. I mean, we don't have boats. God spoke to Moses. Because very possibly Moses was the only person who was listening for God to say something. Now there's really the key to guidance. God is always guiding. But sometimes we are creating such a noise in our lives that we don't hear. We're back again to be still. Now just stop. Be quiet. And you may very well begin to hear what God is saying. But you see, Moses was listening. Moses' faith was such that, you know, in a situation like this, God has his plans. So Moses was listening. And God spoke to Moses. "Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." The Lord said, "Why do you cry?" Moses, this is not time for a prayer meeting. You know, people sometimes pray when they should be doing something. And people sometimes are doing something when they should be praying. I find myself thinking of the children's hymn, "Yield not to temptation," because all sorts of illustrations are coming into mind, but the illustration would involve a lot of people who are here in church tonight, so I'll leave God the Holy Spirit to apply the lesson. Sometimes the thing to do is to pray, but sometimes the thing to do is to get on with your work. "Why do you cry to me?" says God. This is not a time for prayer. "Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up your rod," and that rod was the rod of God's authority given to Moses. "Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go on dry ground through the sea." And you know, Moses didn't bat an eyelid. What a thing to ask Moses to do. To divide the sea. No, I'm wrong. You see, God didn't ask Moses to divide the sea. God knew that Moses couldn't divide the sea. That's God's business. "Lift up the rod." That's what God said to Moses. "Lift up the rod. Let it be seen that what is about to happen is the act of God, not the act of Moses. Lift up the rod and let the people see it lifted up, so that they'll be aware of the fact that when the sea divides, it is the work of God. It is not the result of the great wind or a significant ebb tide or any other materialistic explanation. But when this was said to the people, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. I wonder what the reaction of the people was. It can't be done. They've never heard of this before. And the Israelites were always rather scared of the sea. And even if it could be done, there was no time. Because Pharaoh was right on top of them. And look what God did. He was amazingly kind and patient and considerate with these unbelieving people. Look at verses 19 and 20. The angel of God who went before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. God himself taking his position, standing between his people and the danger that threatened them. God standing guard. Do you ever think of that? Sometimes when you go to sleep at night, do you think of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, standing guard? No visible signs, no pillar of fire in the dark that would likely make your neighbors phone for the fire brigade, but God standing guard. It's a great thought, isn't it? Now visualize the crossing of the Red Sea. The cloud, which had been darkness to the Egyptians, was light to the Israelites throughout the night. And then when the time came to move, the pillar of cloud was still behind. Oh, wouldn't it have been better if God had gone back in front of us, if they, come on, look, I'm here, or you keep close to me. And no, but you see, God didn't do that. The pillar of cloud was behind them, and they were going forward. Now, you can't start to cross the Red Sea looking over your shoulder. You see, they had to believe that their God was standing guard. You see why it's in Hebrews 11? By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. What did the people see? They saw, first of all, Moses lifting up the rod of God. It was God who opened the sea. It wasn't their faith that opened the sea. Well, we've got to be clear about that. It wasn't their faith that divided the sea. It wasn't Moses' faith that divided the sea. It was God who opened the waters. And the waters opened, and what did they see? They saw Moses with the rod of God in his hand, striding down the shore and starting to go through the piled up waters. I can't help thinking, what a difference between this Moses and the Moses at the burning bush, who said, "Oh Lord, oh, your plans are wonderful, but please God, send somebody else." This is the same Moses. Well, is he the same Moses? Or was it a different Moses? It was certainly a Moses whose faith had grown and deepened. Can you imagine him? Oh, what an example. What a terrible challenge to ministers, amongst others, to be an example of faith to the flock of God, so that the people might follow safely, and that they might be encouraged to... Tell me this. Would the pattern of your Christian life encourage other people to become Christians? Would the pattern of your Christian life encourage other Christians who are feeling a bit shaky in their faith? Moses was an example and an encouragement. And the people saw Moses with the rod of God in his hand, striding through on dry land, as if Moses was saying, I'm going forward. I am going with God, and God has given me his promise, and I trust the God who saved us out of the land of Egypt. And he went. And the people followed. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. I don't want in any sense to be cynical, but I wonder if their faith was faith born of desperation. I don't know. There was no visible cloud to follow. They walked by faith. And like Moses, they never looked back. They believed that God was there. They believed God's word. They believed his power to save. And by faith, they crossed the Red Sea. My time's run out in me, but I must read to you these words from Isaiah chapter 43. We really sang about them. The Lord said, Fear not, O Israel, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What a promise. When you there are all sorts of waters. There are turbulent waters in life. There are deep waters. Aye, there are times when the water of life seems very, very scarce, and the land is very, very dry. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Here on the borders of the Red Sea, the children of Israel were aware that their past was chasing them, and their present was full of problems, and their future seemed impossible. But God opened the way. God held the enemy in check, and God watched over his people as they crossed. What a word for the future. And some of you are awfully afraid of the future. And some of you are beginning to panic about the future. Here's God's word. Fear not. Stand still. And keep your eyes upon God. And keep your ears listening for what God is saying to you. And in the end of the day, it will be said of you, as it was said of the children of Israel, by faith they crossed on dry land and they reached the other side. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.